everybody. This is Bob Murphy welcoming you to the first regular season game in the history of the New York Mets. Brought to you by Rheingold Extra Drive. Tonight, the New York Mets meet the St. Louis Cardinals right here in St. Louis. Lindsey Nelson, Ralph Kiner, and I are on hand to bring you every bit of the action. Yes, sir, the New York Mets are on the air in their first great season. Right now, Casey Stengel, Johnny Keene, and the four umpires are getting together at home plate for the last minute check. And right now would be a good time for you to check up on your supply of fine cold Rheingold. Rheingold Extra Dry. Yes, sir, put some Rheingold on ice because it can add a lot to your enjoyment of the game. Rheingold is brewed from the choicest ingredients. Brewed the long, slow, costlier way for flavor that's brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Dry tells you why. And say, right now would be a good time to light up a Viceroy. Viceroy is not too strong, not too light. Viceroy's got the taste that's right. That's right. Now it's just about game time, so settle back with a tall, cold glass of Rheingold, and we'll give you the starting lineups. For the New York Mets, manager Casey Stengel will have Richie Ashburn in center field leading off. Felix Mantilla will be at shortstop, batting second. Charlie Neal at second base, batting third. Frank Thomas in right field, batting cleanup. Gus Bell in right field, batting fifth. Gil Hodges playing first base, batting sixth. Don Zimmer will be at third base, batting seventh. Hobie Landreth behind the plate. Hobie will bat eighth. Pitching and batting ninth, veteran right-hander Roger Craig. For the St. Louis Cardinals, and they feel they have a team that will be a strong contender for the National League pennant. Kurt Flood will be in center field leading off. Julian Javier at second base, batting second. Bill White will be at first base, batting third. In right field, batting cleanup, Stan the Man Musial. Ken Boyer will be at third base, hitting fifth. Manny Manoso in left field, batting sixth. Gene Oliver catching and batting seventh. Julio Gotay, G-O-T-A-Y, Gotay will be at short, batting eighth. Pitching and batting ninth, Larry Jackson. Tom Gorman from Long Island will umpire behind the plate. Big Bill Tchaikovsky from North Walpole, New Hampshire, will call the plays around first. Ed Sudol will be at second, and Al Foreman will be at third. The skies are mostly cloudy, the temperature in the high 40s. The wind right now has subsided and is not really a factor in the ball game. Well, you know, folks, like the sign says, new team, new girl, same great beer. Yes, sir, New York has certainly taken to its brand new National League team, the Mets. And our Miss Rheingold, 1962, well, is more popular than lovely Kathy Kirsch. And that same great beer, Rheingold, it's been New York's favorite for as long as I can remember. How come so many millions choose Rheingold over all other beers? Simple enough, it's beer as beer should taste, and dry tells you why. Dry beer is lighter, more naturally refreshing, and Rheingold is extra dry. Extra dry for that extra refreshing taste no other beer can match. Why not see for yourself what a difference dry makes? Enjoy a glass of refreshing Rheingold along with the game, and you'll join millions who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Well, we are about to be witnesses to history in the making right here in St. Louis as the New York Mets become a reality. From the dreams and the planning boards, from the works that were required to put the ball club together, from a long work in spring training, everything now bursts on the scene and becomes a reality. And the National League now is back in New York after an absence of 4 years. Managed by Casey Stengel, with George Weiss running the front office, a veteran coaching staff of Sally Hemus, Cookie Lavagetto, Rogers Hornsby, Red Ruffing, and Red Press. And a starting team tonight that is truly a veteran ball club. This, incidentally, with the exception of Roger Craig, is the exact personnel that played the very first spring training game for the New York Mets back on the of March against the same St. Louis Cardinals. And if you'll recall, Roger Craig actually was to pitch that day, but injured a muscle in his back sliding a couple of days before and had to bypass that turn. And the batting order is exactly the same except for one switch. On that day back on March the 10th, Don Zimmer and Felix Mantilla were in reverse positions in the New York Met batting order. Now the outfield play in tonight's ball game could be very tricky and could be very important. So much rain has fallen in St. Louis over the last 3 days that the outfield is very, very slow. The infield, of course, was covered throughout the rain and is in pretty good shape. But the outfield is so soggy and so sponge-like that at the last moment, manager Johnny Keene of the Cardinals decided to let his outfielders wear the low-cut, lightweight football shoes, just like the halfbacks wear. Game time temperature here in St. Louis, we were a little bit off in our estimate. They now say it is 55 degrees. But in the outfield for the Cardinals, Bonoso in left, Flood in center, and Musial in right, all three are wearing the low-cut, lightweight football shoes, just like the ones worn by the backs and the ends in pro football. Naturally, when they come into the dugout to go on the attack, they'll be taking those off and putting on their regular baseball spikes because the infield was covered and is in pretty good shape. So setting up the Cardinal defense as right-hander Larry Jackson throws in the last of his warm-up tosses. Ken Boyer at third. Julio Gotay at short. Julian Javier at second. And Bill White is at first. In the outfield, Manny Minoso in left. The speedy Kurt Flood in center and around and right. One of the great names in the history of the game, Stan the Man Musial. The battery for the Cardinals, Larry Jackson on the mound. He'll be caught by young Gene Oliver. Now moving up to the leadoff in the ballgame for the New York Mets will be the veteran Richie Ashburn. Richie, who enters this season needing only 55 base hits to reach the 2,500 hit mark. And in this game tonight, you have the two men who have more base hits than any other players in the National League. Stan Musial, number one, and Richie Ashburn, number two. Richie, after 14 years, is still a lifetime 300 hitter with an average of 308 over the 14-year span. And as you know, twice he won the National League batting title. So veteran Richie Ashburn is stepping in against Larry Jackson, the fine curveballing right-hander of the St. Louis Cardinals. Jackson was hurt in spring training last year, got off to a very slow start. He was 3 wins and 8 losses in the middle of the year. But then he came strong with a great second half. He won 11 of 12 decisions, and he wound up the year as the comeback guy of the Cardinal mound staff. And so he has been given the honor by Johnny Keene of pitching his third opening game. Now Larry Jackson looks in to get his sign from Gene Oliver. Richie Ashburn count-tailing the bat around. Jackson is into his windup, and the Mets are in business. The pitch is hit on the ground, down to third, a foul ball. Backhanded by Kenny Boyer, and there's no play. And now it's a reality. We're underway here in St. Louis with Richie Ashburn leading off. Felix Mantilla moving out on deck. He'll be followed by Charlie Neal. Center fielder Kurt Flood swung way over into left center, playing Ashburn into the opposite field. A drive in the air to left center. Kurt Flood is backpedaling. He's there now, and he makes the catch to the out. Kurt Flood had a perfect defensive position on Richie Ashburn. He was way over in left center, barely had to meander back about 10 or 12 strides to take it for the out. One away, nobody on. That brings up Felix Mantilla. This was a very good spring for Felix Mantilla. He was in a batting slump in the early part of spring training, but when the Mets, on the 23rd of March, started a road trip on the other side of Florida, he got hot. Swing and a miss, strike one. Right after the game tonight, the New York Mets will be flying to New York. They're anxiously looking forward to the big reception tomorrow in New York with the parade down Lower Broadway. And the welcoming at City Hall. And the opener against Pittsburgh on Friday at the Polo Grounds. Gene Oliver crouched behind the plate. Now Jackson nods in accord. Into the windup, the pitch on the way. Outside and low, he lays off of it. One ball, one strike. They've done a beautiful job with the ballpark here in St. Louis, and it is in tip-top shape and very, very attractive. Of course, in right field, which is the real hitting target for the left-hand batters, the screen stretches from the foul pole out to right center. Anything off the screen is in play. Swing and a miss on a slider. One ball, two strikes. Down the left field line to the foul pole is 351 feet. In left center to the bleachers, 379. To the gardens out behind the green batter's eye in center field, 425. In right center where the screen drops off, 354. 310 down the right field line to the pole and screen. Outside and low, two balls, two strikes on Felix Mantilla. Tonight's game has a particular nostalgic flavor for one of the, not only one, but two of the New York Met coaches, Rogers Hornsby and Sally Hemus, who both manage this ball club. Taken low, ball three, 3-2. As far back as 1925, the Rajah directed the Cardinals to the National League pennant and a World Series championship. And, of course, year before last, it was Solly who took over the Redbirds, who were sagging, and drove them to a third-place finish. Full count now, 3-2 on Mantilla. Jackson, double pumps. The infield and the outfield straight away. Tapped foul off to the left. No play, and the count remains the same. Relying heavily this year on two comparative newcomers. Both saw some service last year, but in the true sense of the word, this will be their first full year, and that would be Gene Oliver and the shortstop Julio Gotay. A ground ball hit down to third. Kenny Boyer takes it out of the dirt, straightens up, throws in time, and there are two away. Charlie Neal coming up. Charlie batting third in the order. He looked great all through spring training. Charlie in tip-top shape, and he's hoping to bounce back to the form that he had 2 years ago when he was, without question, considered the number one second baseman in the National League. Here's the wind-up pitch by Jackson. A drive in the air toward right center field. Musial is hurrying over there. He's in front of it and makes the catch for the out. Mighty slow going in the outfield. Stan started to slip around a little bit, but he slowed up and had time to get there. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. Mets go down in order in their half of the first inning. So the score in the middle of the first inning is the New York Mets at nothing and the St. Louis Cardinals coming to bat.
My sermon today, said the Reverend Jones, is baseball and whence it came. If you take the good book and you take a good look, you will find the first baseball game. It says Eve stole first and Adam second. Solomon umpired the game. Rebecca went to the well with the pitcher, and Ruth in the field made a name. Goliath was struck out by David, a base hit made on Abel by Cain, and the prodigal son made a great home run. Brother Noah gave checks out for rain. Now old St. Pete was checking errors, also had charge of the gate. Salome sacrificed Big John the Baptist, who wound up ahead on the plate. Delilah was pitching to Samson when he brought down the house with a clout. And the angels that day made a double play. That's when Adam and Eve were thrown out. Now Jonah wailed and went down swinging. Later he popped up again. A line drive by old Nebuchadnezzar. made Daniel warm up in the pen. Satan was pitching that apple. It looked as though he might fan them all. But then Joshua let go with a mighty blow, and he blasted one right at the wall, shouting, come along and let's play ball.
Life is just a baseball game, but most folks play to win. You won't even get the first if you're wallowing in sin. You'll never make the team if you don't lead a Christian life. If you've been making love, my friend, she'd better be your wife.
Will you be ready at the plate when Jesus throws the ball? Will your life be an infield flyer, a base hit off the wall?
No sinner's ever happy when he hears that umpire call.
Will you be ready at the plate when Jesus throws the ball?
Will you be in condition on the day you get the call? Or have you broken training rules with drugs and alcohol? If you can't play the game, you will be sent down to the minors, where Satan is the manager, and it ain't in North Carolina.
Will you be ready at the plate when Jesus throws the ball? Will your life be an infield flyer, a base hit off the wall?
No sinner's ever happy when he hears that umpire's call.
Will you be ready at the plate when Jesus throws the ball?
Hallelujah, brothers and sisters! Did you always think the initials RBI stood for roguish body inclinations? When someone mentions the immortal babe, do you think they're talking about Mae West? If I were to walk up to you right now and say Raleigh Fingers, I'll bet you'd think I meant a rash transmitted by means of petting. Well, brothers and sisters, you're in trouble, and what you need is my pamphlet describing the road to salvation. It's entitled The Fall of the Roman Umpire, and special operators are standing by right now to take your call. The number's spelled out in chewing gum on the bottom of your tables, and if you hurry and call before midnight tomorrow night, we'll send to you, absolutely free, an autographed photo of Charlie Finley in the showers. And all you have to do is send us three bills. We don't care what currency, but we do ask in the interest of ecumenicalism that no two of these bills be of the same denomination. Your pamphlet will come to you colorfully wrapped in either a red or a white sock, and we've got extra good news for you health food fans this evening. Many parts of the pamphlet are edible. Say hallelujah! Now ask yourself this question. Have your morals gone on strike? Do you direct foul language at the folks that you don't like? And would you rather steal than base your life on something fair? And do you stay at home or go out swinging everywhere?
Will you be ready at the plate when Jesus throws the ball? Will your life be an infield flyer, a base hit off the wall?
No sinner's ever happy when he hears that umpire's call. Will you be ready? Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Save your souls and sing along.
Will you be ready at the plate when Jesus throws the ball? Will your life be an infield flyer, a base hit off the wall?
No sinner's ever happy when he hears that umpire's call.
Will you be ready at the plate when Jesus throws the ball? Will you be ready at the plate when Jesus throws the ball?
All right, in the words of a very great man, lost to antiquity, play ball! Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you're doing, all that stuff. KBC here with you at the Bit Slap, and today we're taking in a ball game. The first of probably three or so baseball specials from me to you. Started with the very first inning of the very first Mets game back in 1962, April 11th to be exact. They were rained out the day before. They were supposed to start the day before. And it was the first inning of a game they would eventually lose 11-4. And it would take 10 more games before they'd finally win one. But they were lovable. They were very lovable losers then. Not like the pathetic losers that are parading around out there in Shea now. Bastards get themselves swept by the Yankees. Lose 2 out of 3 in Milwaukee, looking pathetic. And right now, as we're speaking, they're playing in Pittsburgh, and they're losing 5-0 in the third inning. I can't take much more of this, folks. I can't take much more of this. Anyway, after that, Nat King Cole and the Ralph Carmichael Orchestra, the first baseball game. Nat was born Nathaniel Adams Cole in 1919 in Montgomery, Alabama. Died at the tender age of 45 in 1965. He was Natalie Cole's dad. an absolute killer on the piano and was the first black to have his own TV variety show back in the 50s. And then after that, Dr. Elmo with Patsy, Will You Be Ready at the Plate When Jesus Throws the Ball? You know that Grandma never did get run over by a reindeer. She was actually thrown out for standing in the base pads, called out for interference. So crack open a cold one, get a hot dog, sauerkraut optional, and let's just head down to our seats and enjoy the game. And I'll come back at 7th inning stretch or so, and we'll talk about it and take it from there. Okay, enjoy.
Baseball is a president tossing out the first ball of the season and a pudgy schoolboy playing catch with his dad on a Mississippi farm. A tall, thin old man waving a scorecard from the corner of his dugout. That's baseball. And so is a big, fat guy with a bulbous nose running home one of his 714 home runs. There's a man in Mobile who remembers that Honus Wagner hit a triple in Pittsburgh 46 years ago. That's baseball. And so is a scout reporting that a 16-year-old Sandlot pitcher in Cheyenne is a coming Walter Johnson. Baseball is a spirited race of man against man, reflex against reflex, of game of inches. Every skill is measured, every heroic, every failing, seen and cheered or booed, and then becomes a statistic. In baseball, democracy shines its clearest. The only race that matters is a race of the bag. The creed is a rule book, and color, merely something to distinguish one team's uniform from another. Baseball is a rookie, his experience no bigger than the lump in his throat as he begins fulfillment of his dream. It's a veteran, too. A tired old man of 35, hoping those aching muscles can pull him through another sweltering August and September. Nicknames of baseball, names like Zeke and Pie and Kai Kai and Home Run and Cracker and Dizzy and Dazzy. Baseball is the clear, cool eyes of Rogers Hornsby, the flashing spikes of a Ty Cobb, and an overaged pixie named Rabbit Moranville. Baseball, just a game, as simple as a ball and bat, and yet as complex as the American spirit it symbolizes. It's a sport, a business, sometimes almost even religion. Why, the fairy tale of Willie Mays making a brilliant World Series catch and then dashing off to play stickball in the streets with his teenage pals. That's baseball. And so is the husky voice of a doomed Lou Gehrig saying, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of this earth. Baseball is cigar smoke, hot roasted peanuts, ladies' day, down in front, take me out for the ball game, the seventh inning stretch, and the star-spangled banner. Baseball is a man named Campanella telling the nation's business leaders, you have to be a man to be a big leaguer, but you have to have a lot of little boy in you, too. This is a game for America, this baseball, a game for boys and for men.
I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Well, I asked him, honey, hey, what do you want? He said, honey, babe, there's only one thing I want, and that's some baseball shoes. And that's why I've got the baseball blues. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Well, I've been to the store 1, 2, 3, 4 times. I said, hey, mister, have you got any more of them baseball shoes? Because my baby's got the baseball blues. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Well, every time I've been to the shop, I'll say, mister, mister, any baseball shoes have you got? My baby's got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. I said that I've got the baseball blues because my baby ain't got no baseball shoes. Instead of the baseballs, will you have me? 'Cause it seems like I'm the only thing that's free. And give up the baseball blues, 'cause you ain't got no baseball shoes. Do 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 do. Da 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 da
down in the cellar once again since I've been born. That's where they've been. It's been a 30-year slump. Haven't had a winner since I've been alive. What's gonna happen to the tribe? I want the tribe to win. I know that you do too. If they lose 100 games, I don't know what I'll do. I've got the Indians. The Indians blue. I've got the Indians. The Indians blue. It's the end of the eighth. And here's the score. The tribe is leading 7-4. Do they win the ball game? Is this the Indians' fate? They lose the contest 9-8.
It's the last of the ninth with two men out. If the tribe can get this last batter, there's the pitch. Oh, there's a long drive!
I've got the Indians. The Indians blue. I've got the Indians. Game again. See all the ex-Indians. The All-Stars have come and gone. The list goes on and on. Still got my Indians cap. The hope is still alive. Maybe there's a chance in 2005. I want the tribe to win. I know that you do too. They lose 100 games. I don't know what I'll do. I've got the Indians. Indians blue. I've got the Indians. The Indians blue. I've got the Indians. Indians blue.
Sitting here thinking about those Philadelphia Phillies, and some may think I'm talking about baseball, but I'm talking about the ones that wear them dresses oh so pretty, and the way they swing should be against the law. There's a lot of dangerous curves in that beautiful city, oh, but you never see no warning signs. And if you want to get right down to the nitty-gritty, oh, you can bat a thousand every time.
I met a Yankee in New York, and I loved an Angel out in L.A.
But those Philadelphia Phillies tore my mind apart,
and this Giant's leaving Frisco today.
There's some nice-looking twins up in Minnesota, and Atlanta's got a brave girl or two. And I cuddled a cubby in old Chicago, but I'm Philadelphia, I'm coming back to you.
I met a Yankee in New York, and I loved an Angel out in L.A.
But those Philadelphia Phillies tore my mind apart, and this Giant's leaving Frisco today. I'm sitting here thinking about those Philadelphia Phillies, and some may think I'm talking about baseball. I'm talking about the ones that wear them hot pants oh so pretty, and the way they swing should be against the law. There's some nice looking twins up in Minnesota, and Atlanta's got a brave girl or two.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh. I say O-M, O-M-A, O-M-A-L, O-M-A-L-L-E-Y, oh, really? No, O'Malley. Sandy Koufax, oh, my Drysdale Maury Wills, I love you so. And we defy, defy the J-I, J-I-N, J-I-N-T, J-I-N-T-S, Giants! Play ball! Orlando Cepeda is at bat with the bases jammed. Orlando Cepeda with a wham, bam. He hit a grand slam in the very first inning, but it's only the beginning. In the third, like a bite, we get two on the way. Then fairly hits into a double play. Here comes Big Frank Howard, yes siree. Boy, what a swing! Strike three. O-D-M-B, O-D-M-B-U, B-U-M, B-U-M-S. Them bums, them bums, them dry bums. Oh, they may be bums, but they're my bums. Top of the fifth, say hey Willie Mays hits a three-bagger down the right field line. But he's out trying to stretch it to a homer as Roseboro tags him on the bottom of the spine with a crack you can hear all the way back up to San Francisco. Open your hospital! Inning six, Maury Wills draws a walk in the coach's box. Leo DeRocher, Leo DeRocher, starts to wiggle and to twitch. A signal? No, an itch. Go, Maury, go, Maury, go, go, go. Maury goes, the catcher throws right from the solar plexus. At the bag, he beats the tag, that mighty little waif. And umpire Conlon cries, you're out! Out? Out? Down in the dugout, Alston glowers. Up in the booth, Vin Scully frowns. Out in the stands, O'Malley grins. Attendance 50,000. And what does O'Malley do? Dodge! Bottom of the ninth. 4-0, last chance, push the button. Oh, we're pleading, begging on our knees. Come on, you Flatbush refugees. Maury Wills at bat, hit it for me once. Stu Miller throws, Maury bunts. Cepeda runs the field of ball and Hiller covers first. Haller runs the backup Hiller. Hiller crashes into Miller. Miller falls, drops the ball. Conlon calls, safe. Yay, Maury! Gilliam up, Miller grunts. Miller throws, Gilliam bunts. Cepeda runs the field of ball and Hiller covers first. Haller runs the backup Hiller. Hiller crashes into Miller. Miller falls, drops the ball. Conlon calls, safe. Yay, Conlon! Willie Davis gets a hit and Tommy does the same. Here comes Mr. Howard with a chance to win the game. Hit it once. Big Frank bunts. Cepeda runs the field of ball, so does Hiller, so does Miller. Miller hollers, Hiller, Hiller hollers, Miller, Haller hollers, Hiller points to Miller with his fist. And that's the Miller, Hiller, Haller, hallelujah twist. The Davis score, it's 4-4. Howard's still running the bases. From second to third, it's almost absurd. Amazement on everyone's faces. He's heading for home, he hasn't a chance. The poor nut is going to be dead. But the ball hits him right in the seat of his pants. And he scores. That's using your head. So I say D. I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bonzoo!
Can you give us just a few basic comments about your feelings on the game?
Well, naturally, I feel bad about losing a ball game like that. There's no way you should lose that ball game. And That just doesn't make sense.
What's your opinion of Kingman's performance?
What's my opinion of Kingman's performance? What the f*** do you think is my opinion of it? I think it was f***ing put that in. I don't opinion of his performance? He beat us with three home runs. What the f*** do you mean? What is my opinion of his performance? How could you ask me a question like that? What is my opinion of his performance? He hit three home runs. I'm f***ed off to lose the f***ing game. And you ask me my opinion of his performance. I mean, that's a tough question to ask me, isn't it? What is my opinion of his performance?
Yes, it is. I asked it, and you gave me an answer.
Well, I didn't give you a good answer because I'm mad, but I mean...
That wasn't a good question.
That's a tough question to ask me right now. What is my opinion of his performance? I mean, you want me to tell you what my opinion of his performance is?
You just did.
That's right. Guy hits three home runs against us.
Okay, well, we've pretty much reached the seventh inning stretch point here. Hope you're enjoying the game so far. Not much on action, but it's the nuances of the game. You know, it's just those little things. Anyway, we heard from Julie Lambert and the Dodsworth Saxhorn Band, a song called Gee, It's a Wonderful Game. They talked like that back then. That was a song written by Ring Lardner, and I yanked that off of the Ken Burns baseball series. If you've never seen it and you're a fan of the game, what the hell are you waiting for? It's on DVD. You can find it. And it will be well worth it. Trust me. We heard also from Ernie Harwell and the definition of baseball. Ernie was a longtime broadcaster, late with the Detroit Tigers. He was born in 1918, still alive, but he retired in 2002 or so. Also did some work for the old New York Giants and the Baltimore Orioles, and he also worked for the Brooklyn Dodgers, who actually traded their catcher, Cliff Dapper, to get him to replace an injured Red Barber. He's the only broadcaster ever traded for an active player. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Not for Tim McCarver, anyway. But I digress. We heard from Claire Hamill, the Baseball Blues. She was one of them singer-songwriters from Northern England, of all places. But she's been around since the 70s and evidently spent enough time here in this country to learn a lot about baseball, or you know, what little she told us about in that song. Anyhow, toured with people like Jethro Tull, Procol Harum, and she was actually a member of Wishbone Ash there for a while, as well as having a whole slew of records of her own, quite successful ones, I might add. And then we heard from Del Reeves. That was the Philadelphia Phillies. Hold it, we did not. Before that, we heard from The Window, and that was the Indians Blues. They're a Cleveland band. They're definitely not strangers to suffering, baseball and otherwise. Flip side of a single called I'm a Fan, which tries to explain why we're fans of these things. I told you, it's the nuances. But I don't have any other info on those guys other than that. They're from Cleveland, I can tell, because you can hear the tears in their voice. And then we heard from Del Reeves, the Philadelphia Phillies. Del did a bunch of songs about girls. He's a horny old bastard. The Girl in the Billboard and the follow-up Bells of Southern Belle. Both of those were kind of similar to this. He was born on July 14th, 1932, which would make today his 77th birthday, if he was still alive. Today being the day that the podcast gets released, anyway. He died on January 1st, 1970. He retired from performing to become an executive and had a big hand in discovering and signing Billy Ray Cyrus, so it's just as well he's gone. We can't get him for that now. And then we heard from Danny Kaye, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. That was not a real game, although those two teams did meet in a three-game playoff in 1962, which was won by the Giants in the ninth inning of the third game. This one was an imaginary game. But Danny asked, do you think we'll ever win the pennant? Well, yes. In 1963, they won the pennant, and they went on to sweep the Yankees in four games. Ha! In your face, Yankee fans! Sorry. And then we had a few words from Tommy Lasorda on Dave Kingman, the home run guy. Dave Kingman did two things in his life well. He homered and he struck out. That was about all he could do, but he did both very well. And I don't think any more explanation is needed for that. So let's get back to the game. It's pretty exciting so far, huh? All right, enjoy. See you later.
Everybody. We need a hit, so here I go.
Ball one.
Yay!
Ball two.
Yay!
Strike one.
Ooh!
Strike two.
Get that umpire.
Yay!
A case of Wheaties.
Show. He's glorified the horsehide sphere, Jolting Joe DiMaggio.
Joe, Joe DiMaggio, we want you on our side.
He'll live in baseball's hall of fame, he got there blow by blow. Our kids will tell their kids his name, Jolting Joe DiMaggio.
We dream of Joey with the light from back. Joe, Joe DiMaggio,
we want you on our side. Our Joe, one night in Cleveland, oh, 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 goodbye Street DiMaggio.
Celebrated swing. Oh, I love Mickey.
Mickey who?
You know who, the one who drives me batty every spring. If I don't make a hit with him, my heart will break in two. I wish that I could catch him and pitch a little woo. I love Mickey.
Mickey who?
Mickey you.
Mickey me.
And that's who.
Woo!
sight to see. Oh, I love Mickey.
Mickey who?
You know who, the one I want to steal right home with me. Oh, I'd sacrifice most anything to win his many charms. I'd like to be a fly ball and pop right in his arms. Oh, I love Mickey.
Mickey who?
Mickey Mantle. I love you.
Who, me?
Who, I love you.
Not Yogi Berra?
Who?
Jackie walk. He stole second and third and come home on a walk. Hooray, hooray, time has really come. Cleveland got Larry Doby, Brooklyn's got Jackie Robinson.
outfield, letting nothing get by. Jackie hitting so safe, you swear the ball, and I don't agree. Time has really come. Cleveland got Larry Doby, Brooklyn's got Jackie Robinson. Everybody. Jackie Robinson. Grandpa looking at television, pulling a whisk on his chin. He hollered real loud, Jackie done it again. Hooray, hooray, time has really come. Cleveland got Larry Doby, Brooklyn's got Jackie Robinson. He knocked the ball out of the park, but let me tell you the news. When the man brought the ball back, you know he was on his shoes. Hooray, hooray, time has really come.
Well, Jose, have you finished all your Christmas shopping?
It's all done, Hammerhead. All my gifts are bought, wrapped, and under the tree, so don't step on them.
And have you told Santa Claus what you'd like this year?
I never got to see him.
How come?
I was standing in line at Macy's department store, 9 o'clock in the morning, to see Santa Claus, to present my Christmas list. In front of me stood a gentleman wearing a pinstripe suit, temples of gray in his hair, and a button on his lapel that said, "Don't ask me about Billy." Well, you can imagine my surprise when before my very eyes, he sat down upon Santa Claus's lap. And as he began to speak, I thought I saw a little tear in his eye. So I leaned a little closer so I could overhear. Because I had just cleaned my ears that morning, there was no mistaking what I heard him say.
You heard him say something?
That's right. With these ears, left and right, respectively. Hard to believe, but true. Oh, please send me Reggie for Christmas. I'll manage to keep him this time. I won't let anyone meddle him. I promise he'll never be fine. If you send me Reggie for Christmas, I promise I won't interfere. Please send me Reggie for Christmas. Maybe we'll win it next year. While Santa was sympathetic, but he'd have to consult with his agent, and he just couldn't promise much. As this dejected man walked away, I suddenly recognized him from television. I remember him always saying, "You're hired, you're fired, you're hired, you're fired." I felt really badly for the guy and wanted to cheer him up, so I gave up my place in line and caught up with him. And I said, "Geez, sir, you still have the best baseball team in New York, in the American League."
You didn't really say that, did you?
Sure I did, Hammerhead.
Oh, jeez. Then what happened?
I told him I didn't mean to dent his pride, but that his goose was cooked. And Reggie likes sunny California anyway. And as he climbed into his limousine and he was chauffeured out of sight, I could still hear his words wishing for Reggie tonight.
Please send me Reggie for Christmas. I'll manage to keep him this time. I won't let anyone meddle him. I promise he'll never be fine. If you send me Reggie for Christmas, I promise I won't interfere. Please send me Reggie for Christmas. Maybe you will win it next year.
The Big Apple sure lost some crunch.
He's eating his own words for lunch.
Your need is October punch.
Oh!
Oh, sorry, Hammerhead.
Right in the face.
I'm sorry.
Jeez. What have you got in your pocket?
Oh, these are my baseball cards. Let me see. Nettles, Cerrone, Randolph. What do I do with these?
What's that?
What do I do with Bob Lennon, Gene Michael, Billy Martin?
Well, don't worry, hang on, home. They'll be back sooner or later.
Just like Yogi says, it ain't over till it's over.
I was asking you, sir, why it is that baseball wants this bill passed.
I would say I wouldn't know, but I would say the reason why they'd want it passed is to keep baseball going as the highest baseball sport that has gone into baseball, and from the baseball angle. I'm not going to speak of any other sport. I'm not in here to argue about other sports. I'm in the baseball business. It's been run cleaner than any baseball business that was ever put out in the 100 years at the present time.
Well, Mr. Mantle, do you have any observations with reference to the applicability of the antitrust laws to baseball?
My views are just about the same as Casey's.
It must have been June. I was having wet dreams over Wally Moon. He jumped into my bed. My body got hot. I said, come on, Wally, give me one more moonshine. Cause I'm a baseball card lover.
He's a baseball card lover.
I'm a baseball card lover.
He's a baseball card lover.
I'm a baseball card lover. Honey, show me your cards. Was copping a feel from the second baseman, Charlie Neal. All through my spine, I was feeling chills. Went into my cover, slid Maury Wills. I'm a baseball card lover.
He's a baseball card lover.
I'm a baseball card lover.
He's a baseball card lover.
I'm a baseball card lover. Honey, trade me your cards. Charlie. A little low, huh? Oh, faster, faster, Roy, faster. Gil, that's where I like it, Gil. Oh, come on, Gil. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's where I like it. Oh, hit it, hit it. Oh, slide on it more. Come on, slide. Oh. Hands were shaking. I tried to relax. Went into my bed, climbed Santa Kofax. My legs felt numb. My face was pale. When joined the party was Don Drysdale. I hopped out of bed, ran into the shower, but picking up the soap was a big Frank Howard. I'm a baseball card lover.
Ooh,
I'm a baseball card lover.
Ooh,
I'm a baseball card lover. Honey, show me your cards.
Okay, well, game over. Final score, not important. Who's the winner? You are, of course. You stuck through the whole thing. That makes you a winner in my book. We heard from the 1969 Mets, and that was the song of the 69 Mets. That was recorded after the miracle season of 1969. I have this album somewhere, but I don't think the Cats are done with it, so they've hidden it on me somewhere. Can't tell you much about it. It sucks. It's about all you need to know. It's just bad. There's a whole side of, like, lame songs and another where they recap the whole season. Don't worry about it. We heard from General Kane and Baseball from some otherwise godforsaken, forgettable cassette that I bought just for that one song and probably jettisoned. We heard Jolt and Joe DiMaggio from Les Brown and His Orchestra featuring Betty Bonney. That was a song written in 1941 by Ben Homer and Alan Courtney. Ben Homer, get it? I Love Mickey was, of course, Teresa Brewer with Mickey Mantle, written by Teresa Brewer with somebody named Ruth Roberts and Bill Katz. Story has it that Teresa was at Yankee Stadium with Ruth and took a shine to Mickey, and they made up a little song on the way out and put it down on vinyl for the rest of us. After that, Dr. K from Mellow Mel and the MCL Rap Machine, and I don't know where the hell I found that one. Tribute to Dwight Gooden. And then the Robbie Doby Boogie was Brownie McGee before he hooked up with Sonny Terry. Song for Larry Doby, who was the first black in the American League in Cleveland of 1947, shortly after Jackie Robinson broke in. And then Reggie for Christmas, Jose Smith and the Hammerhead. As far as I know, the world's only Christmas baseball record. And since I collect both, I'm quite an authority. Comes from a special 45 that was put out by 7-Eleven. Yes, that's 7-Eleven. I got it free at a yard sale, and it's one of my prized possessions, although I'll be damned if I can tell you where it is. Supposedly, Jose Smith and the Hammerhead was some kind of local TV show, probably in Texas somewhere, which is where 7-Eleven, I believe, is based. And then we heard from Casey Stengel testifying before Congress, a little snippet of his testimony from July of 1958. And I'll put up a link to the whole transcript. It's hard to read, but well worth it. After that, Baseball Card Lover from Rockin' Richie Ray. And on this one, the mighty KBC has struck out. I can't tell you anything about it. Most of these came from something called Baseball's Greatest Hits on Rhino, Volumes 1 and Volume 2, just so you know. So anyway, we'll have another baseball thing for you in a few weeks. If you want to get in touch with me, it's kbcradio@hotmail.com. And I'll be back with you next week with some other sort of madness. And in a moment, we will have your mystery tune. I got your mystery tune right here. But I should point out, I have to be fair. I was talking about how the Mets really suck, and of course they do, but that game I was telling you about in Pittsburgh, they have actually pulled ahead 6-5 in the sixth inning now. So I have to be fair and tell you that. But they do still suck. And I think that if you look at the paper now at the All-Star break, you're going to find out exactly what I'm talking about. So, but please, don't pay any attention to me. I'm just embittered. It's been a long year already. It's only July. Jesus. All right, anyway, here comes your mystery tune. I'll see you next week. I'll see you the week after that. Have a good one. I'll play it, please.
Majeski, Johnny G, Eddie Juiced, Johnny Pesky, Thornton Lee, Danny Gardella, Van Lingo Mungo, Whitey Karowski, Max Lanier, Eddie Waitkus, and Johnny Vandermeer. Bob Estalella, Van Lingo Mungo, Augie Bergamo, Sigmund Jacuki, Big Johnny Mize, and Barney McCoskey, Hal Trosky, Gullin and Pinky May, Stan Hack and Frenchie Bordagaray, Phil Cavaretta, George McQuinn, Howard Pollett and Early Wynn, Roy Campanella, Van Lingo Mungo. Augie Bergamo, Sigmund Jacuki, Big Johnny Mize, and Barney McCoskey, Hal Trosky, John Antonelli, Ferris Fane, Frank Rossetti, Johnny Sane, Harry Brookine and Lou Boudreaux, Frankie Gustine and Claude Passo, Eddie Basinski, Ernie Lombardi, Huey Mulcahy, Van Lingle, Van Lingle, Mungo.
Bobby Thompson up there swinging. He's had two out of three, a single and a double, and Billy Cross is swinging right on the third baseline. One out, last of the ninth, Bracken pitches, Bobby Thompson takes a strike call on the inside corner. Bobby hitting at 292. He's had a single and a double, and he drove in the Giants' first run with a long fly to center. Brooklyn leads it 4-2. Hartung down the line at third, not taking any chances. Lockton without too big of a lead at second, but he'll be running like the wind if Thompson hits one. Bracken throws. There's a long drive! It's going to be, I believe! The Giants run the pellet! 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 Bobby Thompson hits into the lower deck of the left field stand! The Giants run the pellet! And they're going crazy! They're going crazy!
Bobby Thompson up and carrying him off the field.